Your recording has started. You may now proceed.
Thanks, Martha. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the SCI Sub-Team B meeting on the 21st of March at 1600 UTC. On the call today, we have Anne Aikman-Scalise, Wolf Olive Milburn, Lawrence Olawala Roberts, Amar El-Saber, Sarah Baki. We have No Apologies. And from staff, we have Julie Hedlin and myself, Michelle DeSmiter. I'd like to remind you all to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you, and over to you.
Thanks so much, Michelle. And who would like to chair this meeting? I know, Anne, before you had been ill, and Wolf Ulrich had kindly helped chair in your absence. So maybe I'll let the two of you work out who want to run the meeting.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Julie. This is Anne for the transcript. I'm hoping that because Wolf Ulrich had really taken leadership role on this issue on the sub-team and was also, I think, present in Morocco, which I was unable to be, I'm hoping that Wolf Ulrich will take over leading this group. I think that he has, you know, at this point, the best understanding of all the issues. And so, Wolf Ulrich, can you do that for us?
Hi, and thank you. Thanks very much for trusting in me. And it's okay. Well, I could do so. I do hope that we can come to a result today, so that that there shouldn't be any more need, well, to reconvene, unless, well, the SCI and others come back with some questions with that. But so if I may, I would like to start this way. Julie has put on the screen my question, but before that there was, okay, yes, if you scroll down, Julie, I think there was your minute or the short report from what we have done in the last meeting in Marrakesh, so on the SCI level, and what came out from that meeting. As I understood that and recall that, there is nothing to be done with regards to the issue one that was decided about that, and issue two is the one which we had an extended discussion about that with regards to the question how the vice chairs how vice chairs should continue, or the vice chair task should be done in continuing in case a chair has not been elected. And our last proposal to that was that we should create, we would like to have create a kind of designated vice chair from both parts, if possible, designated in that sense, that there should just be the task to elect the chair should be allocated to those vice chairs and nothing else. So that was some extended discussion about. It seemed to be a little bit complicated to do so within the different parts of the houses, since each stakeholder group may have its own procedure to do so. That was one point, and the other point was that it was not anticipated, or in cases, if it takes longer than just one time to elect successfully a chair, that what does it mean with regards to the general tasks of the council to be done? And we understood there that the vice chairs normally, usually, are the representatives of the council in case the chair is not available. But it means they have to take over the task from the chair, and that might be a different situation. So this is one issue we should discuss today. And the other one was, the other open one was the with regard to the timeline, where we couldn't not discuss that because of time constraint during the Marrakesh meeting. And there was a very last issue right now here on the screen is, well, which is connected to the issue two. It's a question, the normal council business relation to with regards to the vice chair. So, okay, these are the points we should discuss so today. And, well, I myself, and Julie, thank you, you put it on the screen, was thinking about you, what to do with regards to issue two. I think it's, well, our goal is still, I understand well, to have a very simple solution, if possible. Not, it shouldn't be any, in any way complicated. So, and I have seen a kind of preference regarding the continuation of the so far vice chairs in case they are able to continue, meaning that they will be available. Also, they may be, their term may have end already. So that, I have seen a preference to that. So if that is not the case, so I put here in writing that in case these vice chairs or one of them is not available then because of whoever knows, then the a designation could be done for this case. So that was what I put together here. But we should open for questions, understanding, and for comments. And I'm hearing whatever you mean. So I see first Anne, please.
Yes, thank you, Rolf. This is Anne for the transcript. I think it's very important that you have had a discussion, I gather, in Marrakesh about the fact that the vice chair or vice chairs may need to preside over meetings and issues that something other than the election of the chair, that there may be business that has to move forward other than just the chair election. And first of all, I guess I'm wondering, since I wasn't there in Morocco, if that's correct. And then the question that I have about that is it customary for the vice chairs to simply work out between the two of them who would be, you know, running a meeting or calling a question? Is there a need to specify how it's determined which of the you can't have two people running a meeting. That's the bottom line of my comment. So if somebody could enlighten me on that, that would be great.
Thanks, Anne. If I may just, I understood two questions from your side before I hand over to Amma. The first one was with regards to the how it came to this discussion, well, that other tasks beyond the election could happen and could be and should be done by the vice chairs. So it came from the discussion just in case if the council is not able to elect a chair also in the according to the procedures that maybe you know the procedures say I think until two or three rounds, they describe the process, if I recall that correctly. At least one more round, as we had, is described there. And if that fails, so you know, then there is a timeline given by the procedures, and I recall before, for example, new nominations for chair election could be done. So that means in between, does it mean that the council should not do its general work? So the discussion was about no, it shouldn't be because there is ongoing work and somebody has to do that work. And this is normally the vice chair, say, doing that if there is no chair. So and that means there could be other tasks than just to perform the election. So that was the first question. The other question from your side was, just help me.
Yes, the question related to how it's determined which vice chair would be running any particular meeting or issue.
Yeah. No, this is not determined in the procedures. It's just determined that the vice chairs are the are going to do that on behalf of the chair. And well, how they are going to do that? Well, it's maybe that's the chair in this. Normally, you know, it happened in the past that way. So when there was an encounter as vice chair, so Jonathan told me and some, could you do that? Or he asked David, could you do that? Well, it's open, yeah? So they have to...
cooperate. Yeah, it's about just cooperation.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
So Amar, please.
Thanks, Wolf Ulrich. This is Amar. Before I ask the question or I raise the point that I wanted to raise, I'd just like to add something regarding council business continuing as normal and apart from the interim vice chairs arranging for elections of a chair. There are some council activities that, as per the operating procedures, they really do need to move forward. So, for example, if staff has prepared the final issues reports for a PDP, then according to the PDP manual, the GNSO Council has to consider it at its next meeting. So this isn't the sort of thing that can be deferred or should not be deferred to another meeting. So there may be scenarios such as that where the council would have to indeed continue with its business. Council can, for example, defer a motion or separate a charter from an issues report so that the charter of an upcoming PDP can be considered in a separate motion at a later date, but the issues report should ideally move forward once it has, as long as staff has prepared it in time for to be considered in a council meeting. So in the absence of a chair in a situation like that, the GNSO council would still need to consider this, and this is part of what council business is. Just wanted to point that out, and I'm not sure, there may be other situations as well where the council has to act on something, and those may be circumstantial, or they may also be associated with guidelines or rules in the operating procedures. But the other point I really wanted to raise, and I know I raised this in Marrakesh, and forgive me for not recalling exactly where we left it off. And I also apologize for jumping into the sub-team once you folks have done so much of the work already, but I had some problems with the ICANN mailing lists. I'm still having a little bit of trouble understanding why the non-voting NOMCOM appointee would be eligible to serve as a vice chair on behalf of one of the two houses. My understanding of the non-voting NCA's role is that that person is not meant to be affiliated to any of the two houses, and I'm just concerned that having this person be eligible even as an interim vice chair sort of distorts the purpose that the non-voting NOMCOM appointee is meant to serve on the GNSO Council, and I'd be grateful to hear thoughts of others on why this may be desirable. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Amma, for the question.
It's Anne. Maybe I could just in relation to that make a comment.
Before you answer, Andy, just because Lawrence was the next one, I think, I don't know whether this, your question or your comment is related to that, Lawrence, and I would like to give him the...
No, it's not. Lawrence, speaking for the records, my question is not related to that, so maybe Anne could go ahead to provide some insight.
Okay, Anne, please.
Yeah, Amar, just very quickly, this is Anne for the transcript. One of the discussions we had, I think I might have suggested the possibility that a non-COM representative could step in as interim vice chair, precisely because they're not voting, and the sort of the, I guess you would say, the neutrality issue. But then I think it was pointed out to me that you might have the same situation with non-COM representatives both going off at the same time. And then someone said, well, you know, you could still, one of the houses could still appoint or designate, I guess you say designate, a non-COM representative anyway if they wanted to. And so that was the genesis of the discussion, was actually, I think I was looking for somebody, you know, neutral, one person to take that role perhaps. Or so that's how it came about. I don't have strong feelings either way myself with respect to the issue of non-COM serving as vice chair, but that's kind of how the discussion came about. Thank you.
Thanks, Anne. Well, and if I may add to that, I think we, you know, when we were talking about the NCAs to be included for eligibility, so at least to my mind, it came, so we were not taking into consideration that the council may have additional tasks to be done besides the election. For, you know, we are just talking about the designation, which included just the tasks for the election, nothing else. So under this understanding, the NCAs were included. Plus, we wouldn't like to exclude anybody of the council because anybody is eligible for chair, including the non-voting NCA, and for this role of a designated person, that was my understanding to be included, that the non-voting NCA should also be included. Right now, after the discussion with regards to the specific tasks related to the policy development and all the other things, you know, well, I may have to reconsider that. So, for that thing, I find it positive, and we should discuss it. But we can reconsider that. But before we do that, I give the floor to Lawrence, please.
Okay, thanks again. This is Lawrence for the records. I recall that, you know, the major concern with regards getting somebody to stand in where an election becomes conclusive. Falling out from the meeting we had in Marrakesh, the major concern was that, you know, it could take some time to and some process to also get a replacement from the House, having to go back to the House and all that. And so we're thinking, going back to thinking that, you know, extending the term of the current vice chairs in case their tenure ends with the AGM, might be a much simpler option. But looking at that direction, which is now beginning to form our first option, looking at that, a question that comes to mind is if we can go to the extent of extending the tenure of a vice chair in order to have a conclusive election, then why do we have to, in the first instance, go that route? It means that we could as well extend the tenure of the outgoing chairperson to complete or conclude the election. So I'm just thinking, and I want the opinion of the House, if we were to go to the extent of seeking any of the House to extend the tenure of a vice chair, then why don't we just do that for the chairperson and, you know, just have the process completed? Thank you.
Interesting question. Thank you, Lawrence. So I give the floor to Amar. New ideas, Amar. Please.
Thanks, Wolf Ulrich. I just had a quick follow-up and a suggestion on my last comment, and particularly after hearing Anne's response. And thank you for that, actually. The scenario where two vice chairs may be term limited and we may have incoming new
NOMCOM appointees was not a scenario that I had considered, and it's certainly worthy of consideration. But I just wanted to be clear on something. When I was speaking of the NOMCOM appointees, I wasn't referring to all three of them, and I think Julie's captured this well in the notes on the right of the screen. As you all know, we have three NOMCOM appointees on the GNSO Council. There are two voting NOMCOM appointees that are attached to each of the houses, so one NOMCOM appointee for each house, and then we have one non-voting NOMCOM appointee that is independent of any of the two houses. And I would think that this person is both eligible to run for council chair as well, may also be eligible to serve as an interim council chair if necessary. But my question was more on this very specific individual, the non-voting NOMCOM appointee who is not affiliated or associated with any of the houses, being a vice chair in one of those. And in considering this, I would suggest that maybe it might be a good idea to reach out to the NOMCOM itself and maybe ask them what it is they consider when they're appointing a non-voting NOMCOM appointee to the GNSO Council, and then maybe just to make sure that there are no conflicts between the considerations they make in making that appointment and having the non-voting NOMCOM appointee being designated as an interim vice chair for either of the houses. I think getting some input from them on what sort of criteria they look at and what they're actually looking for the non-voting NCA's role to be might be helpful to us in our own discussion. Thank you.
Okay, Rama, thank you. Lawrence, is that an old hand?
Yes, sorry, I'll take it down.
Okay, so then Julie for this round, and then we start a new round. Julie, please.
Thank you, Wolf Ulrich. This is Julie, and I just put something in the chat as well. I think Lawrence, if I understood correctly, was asking about why we couldn't just extend the term for, say, an outgoing chair or outgoing vice chairs. We did discuss this, and it maybe have been at a meeting that Lawrence was unable to attend. But the terms are set in the bylaws. In order to extend a term, this has to be done via what's called, if I remember it correctly, and I don't have the terminology right in front of me, a special circumstance. Generally, the special circumstance would apply not to a chair, but it could apply to a vice chair in the case where perhaps one of the houses does not have a candidate to replace one of the vice chairs for whatever reason, and then has to ask for a special circumstance to have the term of a vice chair extended, and then this has to go to a special vote, which I think the threshold is might be a supermajority. I have to check that as well. At any rate, I would point out that it's not a simple process. It's not a process that would necessarily happen quickly because either one of the houses in this case would have to say, yes, we want a special circumstance. Yes, that would have to go to a vote at a regular council meeting. So I think that was why we avoided invoking that extension in this case, but others may remember differently. Thank you.
Okay, Julie, thank you very much. So we got a set of ideas right now, and we got a set of issues or problems related to these ideas. Let me just find out whether we could how we could proceed. So we were discussing well two parts of getting out of this issue. So the one is we would like to have a simple solution. That's the first thing. And the one is can we make use, let me say it in this way, of the incumbent vice chairs or the outgoing vice chairs, well, at least at first of the incumbent one, if there are vice chairs, available still ongoing their job. That would be the first question. Should they be in charge as long as no vice chair is elected? So that would be the first question. If there are two of the vice chairs available, both shall continue their job. That is the first, the easiest solution. The other would be what's going to happen if one of them is still available, but the other is a new one, the other vice chair was an outgoing vice chair and a vice outgoing member of the council. Shall we continue with just one vice chair doing that job until the election is done? That would be the second question. Third is then what's going to happen if both are not continuing, how can we make use of them? Let me say it in this way, not to touch on a complicated thing like bylaws or what else, but just to make use of their knowledge they have shown, their experience, in order to continue council's work. Is that a way where we could find appropriate measures to take and then discuss how we can make use of them, or if it just then directly to the issues we have right now raised? So this is the questions I would put to the audience here and all around. And I see it first. It was Anne and then Julie, please. Anne, please.
Yes, thanks, Wilford. This is Anne for the transcript. I don't speak on behalf of my constituency, but certainly in the interest of simplicity, I definitely favor the approach that if either one of the vice chairs is remaining on term in council, that person would continue as interim chair or the term would be extended as vice chair for this purpose of both, you know, conducting meetings, as Amr pointed out, may be necessary, as well as the election. I find Lawrence's suggestion really intriguing, even though, as Julie points out, and again, in the interest of simplicity, I mean, would it be possible, if there is no vice chair continuing, and we are satisfied with the answers from the NOMCOM, should we be considering the possibility that if no vice chair is available, that the non-voting NOMCOM appointee should serve as interim chair?
No, it's an idea, and Lawrence is agreeing to that. So, Amr has a comment. Please, Amr.
Thanks, Wolf Ulrich Sommer. Apologies, it takes me a few seconds to get off mute. I think the non-voting NOMCOM or any of the NOMCOM appointees actually a scenario where they be appointed as an interim chair to the council is a good one, at least as an available option. But I think it needs to be a nuanced sort of option, because I think it shouldn't be a status quo where, okay, the two houses have failed to designate interim vice chairs for one reason or another. Doesn't really matter what the reasons are. But I think the council has to show some form of agreement for one of the NOMCOMs serving as an interim chair for the council, and one of the reasons for that is I think we've seen in the past at least a few NOMCOM appointees not being as up to speed with other councillors
They may be coming to the GNSO Council from outside of the community. They may be new. They may not know too much about what to do. So I don't think putting in a procedure in the PDP manual or the bylaws that sort of makes this a de facto case, you know, I don't think that's a very good idea. I think there has to be some room for the council to explore and consider that option and either decide to go ahead with it or decide against it. So just my thought on this. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. I understood that in the direction that should be an option to be given to the council. We should take into consideration all of that. If you go that way, to nominate or a chair, you know, an interim chair, this guy, you know, he or she, they have to confirm that to confirm that they are willing, though, to do that. So we have to take this also into consideration. So, as you told, if he or she is a very new one and doesn't really know, is not doesn't feel well, that would be the right thing to do for herself or himself. In case she or her has to guide several meetings, so that would be very tricky. So we should discuss that. But it's an idea. And Lawrence, you put your hand.
Thank you again. This is Lawrence for the records. The initial question I asked, I think I mixed something up, or maybe it was due to the discussions we had in Marrakesh. I had an impression that we were changing towards, we're tilting towards seeing that should, in case an election was inconclusive, and the chair's tenure had ended, that we were tilting towards extending that of the vice chair. So my fear was what Anne addressed. I was in a meeting where, you know, we brought up the issue that it might be difficult because extending the vice chairs will mean having to go back to the House. Now, that said, it might not, we might not actually, for a long while, come into a situation where we are unable to conclude an election. But should, in case we have a scenario like what happened in the past, where the election becomes inconclusive and the chair's tenure has run out, the fallback could be that if one of the vice chairs or both vice chairs' tenure continue, then they could preside over an election. I believe the election is so important that it definitely overrules the continuous job of the council. I say that why? Because I feel that with a proper leadership in place, it confers some form of legitimacy on whatever the council's resolution definitely comes. I mean, whatever council resolution is the outcome. So if in the process of conducting an election, it becomes inconclusive, there might not be some form of legitimacy to any council decision. I mean, talking about the work going forward further. So I think one thing that we could try to focus on is try to see that if an election becomes inconclusive, then the next serious business for the council will be to conclude an election in such a way to get their officers in place. So if we have a fallback where we are saying that at least one of the vice chairs continues, then there's an opportunity for the other house to also nominate someone just for the conduct of that election. And once that election is over, that role can be reversed back. In the case where we do not now have, in the case where the chair is not, we don't have a chair on ground and the tenure of the two vice chairs also ends, then as another fallback, which could be a third level, could now be getting or having the NOMCOM appointee to oversee an election. And immediately after the election is done, which the whole process could just be in one particular meeting, merely after that whole process is concluded, reverts back to the natural role that the NOMCOM appointee has while the new officials take up their responsibility. Thank you.
Yeah, well, okay. Lauren, thank you very much. So how can we proceed? So we have put together different options, also with this different views on what could happen, you know, with regards to the to the election. So, well, coming back to the beginning of the discussion, well, I think we should take and we should take into consideration that the primary goal of the council is to perform a successful election of the council chair. So this is what I would like to suppose. I cannot imagine a situation that, well, the council is coming to such a deadlock that over several rounds a chair is not could not be found. Because also, you know, the present rules include that case. It's just the case, well, that the question what we're discussing here is here that the vice chair's term is going to an end, not the question that really there will be any deadlock and we don't see any end, well, to that the election's coming to a successful end. So, having said this, I would like to put together, well, these options. I'm just thinking about how we should proceed. Julie, I saw that we will have very soon, I think also this week, an SCI meeting. So, do we have something to suggest to the SCI? A specific way, or do we have more questions to the SEI? Should we go that way to tell them, yes, we will get in contact with the NOMCOM asking with regards to the NCA, to the non-voting SEA, NCA, and then come up with a proposal going that way, probably with regards to the NCA? Or how shall we proceed? In this respect, there is one additional question which comes to me, Amar and Anne as well. The understanding: what is the trigger point when we are going to start thinking about suggest that the non-voting NCA should take over that task? What is the real point when this should happen? Is it just in case, in any case, when it happens that both vice chairs shall not be more available? Or is that, are there other cases? And I understand, if I'm correct, Anna, that option, that this is a, it's not a kind of selection of an interim chair. It's just a kind of more or less mandate to be given to that person, though. And he or she can just say yes or no, but there is no other alternative for that. Is that the case? Was my understanding correct? That's my question. Anne, please.
Yes, thank you, Wolf-Lorish. This is Anne. I think that the answer to the question that you just raised depends very heavily on our assumption about whether other business beyond the election of chair will need to be handled by this person or persons. I think that what Lawrence was saying was absolutely, you know, it's a priority to get a chair elected.
Mm-hmm.
But as Amr has pointed out, there are situations that present time limits, and there can be urgent things to be considered. So if the question as I see it is, if you believe that there must be other business that will have to be handled in addition to finalizing election of chair, that might lead you away from, you know, a non-com solution and more toward the designation of two vice chairs, one by each house, and to happen quickly. Because I think it's important that whatever procedure is in place be able to be implemented quickly and not be subject to an election and not be subject to the procedures that Julie outlined that can be time-consuming. So if our assumption is, you know, regular business of council may need to be handled, then that causes me to lean very much toward designation of vice chair by each house. Thank you. As a second, in other words, if there's a continuing vice chair not coming out of term, then I think that person should continue to serve, and regardless of which house that person is from. Now, again, that is not something I've run by my constituency. It's just my view that it's much simpler. If both are leaving out of term, as previously discussed, then if we assume that regular business of council must be conducted in addition to election of chair, then I would lean toward designation of two vice chairs, one by each house, rather than rather than going to the non-com solution.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Anna, for always speaking. Yes. By the way, the question was raised also here on the chat, well, how often we had a situation like this in the past, and I think it was the only one. I can also remember in Dublin that we had this problem that the chair was not elected in the first round. I think in Dublin there was not a real problem because of both vice chairs, Volker and and David, so far, was it David? They could continue because they were continuing members on the council. So that was not that problem. So we could really come down with a question just in case there are both vice chairs are going to leave the council at the AGM when the new council chair should be elected, and then it's a problem what's going to happen then. We also suppose, I understand it that way, that the new vice chairs, which are going to be selected by both houses, shall also only be elected after the chair is elected, in order to give all people a chance to run for chair. This is what I also understand. Yes, and it's really just the case when both are going to leave. So, what's your feeling with regards to the question of of nominating or suggesting the non-voting NCA should take over that in comparison to the question of designation of interim chairs from each house. So I think this is the that is what we come back with that question. What's with regards to this the one person, the non-voting NCA, or regarding this so-called designation process? So that's what I would like to have some input from you. And Amma, please.
Thanks, Wolfgang. Just Amma. Noting Anne's comment in the chat, I think it's a good idea to discuss this indeed with the full committee, and we'll have the opportunity to do that on Thursday during the SCI call. This is just an idea at the top of my head. It's not something I've thought about too much, but it may or may not prove to be helpful if we come up with different scenarios, different solutions, like the ones we've been discussing today. Like, for example, a mix between two or one vice chair that is not term limited and willing to continue, and then designating new interim vice chairs and possibly the non-voting non-com appointee as a chair. It may be worthwhile to maybe consider the order of desirability of each of one of these scenarios, and then maybe perhaps suggest a staggered approach to dealing with a scenario like this. So if the council does find itself in a situation where, again, there's an inconclusive chair election, then they'll have the first option, which is one that the committee would be recommending. And if that option, for one reason or other, doesn't work out, move to the second option, which is perhaps less desirable but still an option, and then a third and fourth and so on, just to try to help create predictable scenarios where the council understands, with the failure of each one, what the next step may be. Again, that's just a thought. It's not something I considered too thoroughly, but figured I'd just throw it out there. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks very much, Amma. So let's take these both questions to the SCI meeting on, it's Friday or Thursday, well, this week. If I may, well, to tell you, because I told you that I will be on a train, and sometimes, well, connectivity is not the best one. So, but you all know it best, you know, these scenarios, these questions. Well, in case my call is cut, well, you could continue that discussion there. So let's do it this way. What was the... I had one more question to that. The question, the open question is, Julie, to you. Is it possible that we could refer to the NOMCOM just immediately from after this call with a question Amma raised, whether the NCA, the non-voting NCA, let me turn the question this way, whether this could cause problems with regards to the NOMCOM's intentions by selecting an NCA, a non-voting NCA, in case this NCA takes over an interim chair for the purpose of election plus replacing the, or plus doing the job as long as a chair is not available. So, well, if you got this question, that would be helpful.
Yeah, Wolf Horst, this is Julie. I'm just wondering if it's a little premature to ask that question, because as I understood it, at least my takeaway as an action here is to order the scenarios by desirability. And we're looking at the simplest, trying to move to what would be the simplest, procedure in each case. And so, case one is what happened in Dublin. So both vice chairs continue. If they can continue, they do, and they manage the election. Or if only one is continuing, then that one continues. I think this was what Anne had said, too, that the preference is that vice chairs could continue. Then three... if the two are not continuing, then each house designates an interim vice chair
four would be sort of the last case scenario, I would think, which would be non-voting NCA is designated as an interim vice chair. But I'm wondering whether or not we first want to have this discussion with the full SEI. I'm also not entirely sure to whom I would direct this question for a quick response. I'd have to figure out, it might actually even be a legal question as opposed to a NOMCOM question, so I might have to engage legal as well. I'm just not entirely sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Great. Well, I personally would agree, well, to do it that way. First, discuss on the SEI and the other. Well, I would like, if you could do that, it would be helpful for the meeting with the SEI just to put these 4 points all together, Julie, that we have it on the screen at the SEI meeting and these options, and then we can discuss it there. Anne, please.
Yes, thanks, Wolf Ulrich. I admit to being ignorant on the question of whether there are different listed criteria for choosing the non-voting NCA representative. I wonder if staff could simply look at whether the criteria, you know, I mean, there are listed criteria, aren't there, for the non-com representatives? I thought there were. Maybe there are not. And whether there's any difference between the non-voting and the voting, without putting in an inquiry to non-com, it might be good for us to just know what are the listed criteria for the non-voting member, selection of the non-voting member.
Yeah. Thanks. Good question. And, well, you know, with regards to the criteria, I don't think that we have specific criteria to think about, rather than saying, well, it should be, when it seems to be, the person which is less connected to any interested party, let me say, in this way, regarding the House as well, with regards to the election. You know, you were also discussing, I think somebody, maybe Lawrence, came up with the idea, why not just to take the one who served the longest term already on council? Well, this is not, this we cannot do because we are all term limited. So we cannot take the eldest person, you know, in the on council. But that could be also a criteria. Why not? Yeah. So I think we shouldn't put too much thinking about that. So which criteria we should use? Just think about, you know, which we have 18 councillors or how many, 15 or so, well, let's take one or two of them then. Okay, Julie, is it your hand still up?
Sorry, before this is Julie Headland. I just wanted to confirm. I will go ahead and after this call send both to this group, just to make sure, first to this group, to make sure that I've captured the different scenarios correctly and the options, and then maybe ask for just a quick turnaround on that, and then I will prepare that to send to the SEI, say, by tomorrow.
Okay, so send it to us, to our list, and then you get a quick response, I'm sure. Thank you. So let's finish that time. We have just 4 minutes left, so I'm sorry about that, because the timeline is also an important point. I can only say, you know, I have put the timeline, also send it out to our list within our constituency. So far, no response, any comment regarding that. So I, well, openly speaking, I think they trust me, and asking myself what would be my further comment to that. I'm asking you: is there any comment from your side? You wanted also to put that to discussion in your various constituencies. If there's more time needed, we should do so and take this time. Any comments on that?
Well, for Rikai, it's Anne. We're losing some time here, so just very quickly, has this timeline been reviewed by the full SCI? Because I am not supposed to send out to my constituencies things that have not been reviewed by full SCI.
Sorry, I did not get it. You mean...
Did the full SCI discuss this timeline?
No, no, did I correctly get it? So that you only can ask your constituency if that is has been discussed with the full SCI? Or
the reason being that they want us to have, you know, a consensus on our work for the purpose of saving time on the other end, and I'm just wondering if we could discuss the timeline at the full SCI,
Yes, we did it in, but also just for 5 minutes in Marrakesh. And,
oh, you did it. Okay, that was my question. Yeah.
And then it was said, okay, well, there may be needed some more discussion within constituencies about that, because depending, you know, on the timelines within those stakeholder groups and constituencies, and there was a requirement to come back if there is any need, any request from that side. So if you need time, well, to do so and ask it to your constituency, please do so. Lawrence,
okay,
please.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Lawrence, for the records, we sent this out to the BC last week. That's Angie and I, and we've not gotten, we've only just gotten a response which isn't directly connected to the timeline as it is. But the question that we had raised when we were developing our communication to BC was how we arrived at the different dates. I remember that we talked about that this is just a proposal and all that, but looking at the 109 days, could it be shorter than this? Could it be, are we looking at starting at a meeting B and spanning to the AGM, or just to have some more insight on how the timing is spread?
Thanks, Lawrence, for the question. I understand, Julie, that is the old plan coming from the last cycle last year, and the date's 29th June, and they were at that time from June 2015. If I'm correct, is that correct, or I think this time we have a meeting. The ICANN meeting shall be from 27th. To 30th of June, is that the B meeting?
Right, it's 27 as opposed to 29, 26 to 29. I'm not sure why I put 26 to 29, but what I used...
think that was from last year.
You're right. I what I meant to use was meeting B for this year, so it would be the 27th to the 30th. I can update that. But the point was that it was, for 2017 and perhaps... You know, and I just sort of just picked the dates based on the way it happened last year that, you know, the announcement went out at the time of the what is now the B meeting, and then, you know, the timeline, you know, ticked off from there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Julia, hi, this is Anne. So does that suggest that the timeline should actually specify a kickoff at the B meeting? Is there something that a reason to tie it to either the end of the B meeting or...
Oh, yeah, and actually, and I see, and thank you, this is Julie Hedlund. So, no, and actually I'm not looking at this year because there is an election this year. I'm looking at 2017 because we just had an election, right? So.
Yes.
And
right, so should the timeline say B
our 2017.
Meeting?
The only reason I picked the B meeting as a start, you know, say for 2017 is just because that's the way it was done for the last election. The announcement was made at the GNSO Council meeting at the end of the GNSO Council meeting in that summer meeting last year in 2015. And so that would be a question. Is that the initiation point, or do people want a different initiation point? That's just the way it happened to have happened before.
Okay. Thanks, Julie. Well, if you could update that, so there's, because normally, you know, we are going also at the council meeting that way, that this timeline is sent by Glenn to the council after that, and it should contain, the data, the dates from this year. So if you could just check it and see.
Well, actually, though, but we don't have an election this year, so I use the dates for 2017. That's why they're different. That's why it's 26 to 29.
Well, normally the council chair is elected every year, I understand.
Every year?
Yes, it is.
I apologize for that.
Yes.
Okay.
That's the question, because we need it this year again. Yeah?
I'll update it. Thank you. I'm not quite sure where my head was at, but thank you.
So normally, you know, what happened over the last years is that the incumbent chair has been re-elected. So that was not a big problem. So, but there is an election this year. Okay, so if you could just update that a little bit, then it would be helpful. So, well, we run out of time a little bit. I would suggest, well, for this, I understand we need some more time within the constituencies. I will also ask again to my constituencies. I personally do not have a problem with that. But if I could get some comments next time from you, that would be helpful. We could also present it to the overall SCI on the 24th. Julie, so that would be helpful, and then directly put them the question to all of the attendees. So the last question here is right now, we need another meeting after the SEI meeting. Shall we do that next week? Is that okay, same time?
Yeah.
No objection? Amar, please.
Yeah, thanks, Wolf, for the summer. I was wondering if maybe we should pose this question to the committee as a whole, ask them whether they would like the sub-team to continue with its work or whether the committee would like to take over working on this in full or not. Just suggestion. Thanks.
Well, to get it right, Amma, if I get it, you mean on the next SEI meeting we should pose the question whether they would like to have an extension of our task here to discuss it, or whether the SEI as a whole should discuss this process in the future and then directly? Well, that was your question.
That's
okay?
Suggested.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah, I figured on Thursday we asked them whether they would like the sub-team to continue or whether they would like to take over and participate directly in the report. Thanks.
Good. Then let's ask this question on the next SEI meeting as well. But
excuse me, please. This is Angie Graves. I'm very sorry. I had this down for 1 o'clock instead of 12. I'm just offering
that. Okay, I understand you, Angie. I did the same last time, I think so. Thank you.
Okay.
So we're just over.
Thank you. I'll catch
just
up on
almost
email.
Over and thinking about, well, let's keep on hold a date for next week, just in case, well, the SCI would not take over. So let's keep the date for next week at the same time. And last question, please.
Yeah, just very quickly, Wolfurich, I think that whatever timeline we put together should be one that essentially works every year. In other words, if it's a standard procedure to be established, for example, could we, you know, say that the announcement of proposed procedure and timeline is triggered by that GNSO Council meeting in the B meeting, and then have all the other dates, you know, follow from that? Is there a way to standardize the timeline each year? Thank you.
Yeah, good proposal. Thank you.
I'll just note, though, that it can't work because the dates, as far as I can tell, the dates for the meetings change. So the number of days between each element or each milestone would necessarily, at least from the first milestone in June to the, you know, from June to the first milestone would never be the same.
Julie, that's correct. The question is, do we need all the days, you know, here? You know, we just counted days, starting this, the timeline from last year. So I understand that it's going to vary because of the variation of the meeting schedule itself. But the question is it okay, well, to start in general with a B meeting? With that, this question should be asked.
Right. Well, we could start with a B meeting, but then I don't really know how to set milestones, because then if we have to with the AGM, that will always change as well. So I'm not quite sure how to do it, I guess, is my problem.
Okay, then let's discuss next time, so whether to follow, you know, the upper line or the lower line in counting just days, and then it may happen before or after the ECB meeting. Could be. Yeah? Let's ask this question next time.
That sounds good, and I'll update the...
Okay.
Nonetheless, thanks.
Good. Thank you very much for your time and for the discussion today, and we will meet again on 24th in the year.
Thank you for it.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Bye, everyone.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you. Today's meeting has been adjourned. Operator, please stop the recording.